Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation, episode 86, recorded January 9th, 2013. The Black Blood of the Earth. Triangulation is brought to you by Pond5, the world's stock media marketplace. If you're a media maker looking for video, photos, illustrations, music, sound effects, After Effects templates, or 3D models, check out Pond5. And for an exclusive 50 free stock media files, go to pond5.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where I get to talk to some of the most interesting people in the world. And we've got a great guest for you, especially if you like coffee or beer or nuclear radiation. His name is Philip Broughton. Broughton.
Did you bring it? It's been Broughton.
It's Broughton. Philip Broughton. And I'll tell you the great story of how I first found out about Philip Broughton, who is the hair director at Funranium Labs, among other things. We were doing a Mac Break Weekly. Rich Siegel was on, the developer who wrote Bare Bones Software's BB Edit, a great text editor for the Macintosh, used for many of us for years. Rich is a great guy who loves many things, including parrots, fine wristwatches, and coffee. And we do a pick on Mac Break Weekly. And his pick was something he called the Black Blood of the Earth.
He held up an empty bottle because he was done.
A vial like this, but with nothing in it. And it looks kind of medical, actually. And he says, I love these. Now, we've talked about coffee before because Rich is also a fan of the very sweet coffee syrups that are big in Rhode Island.
Eclipse. He sent me a bottle.
Yeah, kind of weird stuff.
It's the state drink of
it is, Island. And I grew up in Providence, so I knew about Eclipse and the other one. In fact, I have some bottles in the back, but I don't drink that stuff anymore. I'm a grown-up now, and I drink I drink coffee. So I immediately ordered some Black Blood of the Earth, and while I was there, I saw these great steins that you make, and I ordered one of those. Well, I went, frankly, kind of crazy, and you say I bumped you ahead in the line. Philip Broughton, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And since I'm here and it's
Should
the afternoon.
Crack one?
Yes, I'd love one.
Now, wait, but before you open it up, we've got to look at the label here. This is this says X. This is Guatemala Nueva
Venus.
Venus. So these are, this is coffee. Go ahead, you can sample some. I'll hold up the another vial of this. But it's not just normal brew.
No, this is a cold vacuum extraction of a single geographic varietal.
Okay, there's so much to talk
about. Oh, would you like one, too?
I would, actually. Do you have an extra stein of science?
No, you didn't bring yours, but I'll have to
I didn't bring mine. I forgot. I should have brought mine. So I'll talk about the steins of science, too. Now, now I did not put too much water in mine. I actually mixed mine with milk. Is that heresy?
However you like to do it is how you like to do it. So you're going to get Peru Salcante, not Salty Carney.
Not like, Salty Carney, but...
Like the people down at St. George call it.
Now, you actually have warnings on your website about how much of this in a day to consume.
Yes, I generally recommend you stay under 100 mils per day.
And how much is this?
That's 50.
Okay, so I could have two of these a day. How much caffeine
you
is
it? You can have two of those. I don't necessarily recommend starting there.
You want to work your way up over a period of months getting used to it.
Tolerances.
Tolerance,
very important.
Yeah. And you mixed it with how much water in here?
That's about three parts. So you got 150 mils of water there. Luckily, your handy staffers were kind enough to provide me with a volumetric flask with which to do quick measurements.
How did we happen to have that? We have a very interesting place.
You have a fully stocked technical section.
Our glassware is very good here. Okay, so how did you get into this? Were you a coffee nerd?
No, actually, it took me until going to Italy at age 28 before I found coffee.
Great
I
coffee.
Could drink and be happy with.
Yeah.
I actually was drinking somewhere in the neighborhood of 6-pack to a 12-pack of Coke a day to get me the caffeine hit that I needed to keep going. Unfortunately, that led to a diabetes diagnosis.
Oh, not good.
In 2009 in June. I had been living in Livermore at that point and commuting into work at UC Berkeley.
You're a physicist.
A health physicist.
We'll talk about that in a second. But meanwhile, you might want to think about what that could be. And then we'll let you know.
If it's meaningful to you, I'm impressed. With no Google searches.
No Google searches allowed yet. By the way, this is fantastic.
Thank you.
Just delicious, yeah.
I've been living in Livermore and was commuting in to Berkeley, and that's 45 minutes with traffic. And I was getting in at dead o'clock in the morning. My job involves wrangling the x-ray radiation-producing machine safety at campus for UC Berkeley, and all the radiation detection instrumentation are my purview. So really, it was a life-or-death matter that I be awake.
Alertness is key.
Unfortunately, I needed a heck of a lot of cream and sugar to actually be able to drink the coffee that was around my office.
Right.
As a matter of health-mindedness, I'd actually started transitioning away from soda to coffee that contained more sugar than the soda I had been drinking.
Not good.
So I didn't really do myself any favors
there. Not good, yeah.
When I got the diagnosis of diabetes, it was a, okay, crash course.
Right.
I got to fix this now.
You got to learn how to drink black coffee.
And that's not easy for someone who has a vicious sweet tooth.
Right.
Especially if you've grown up on Eclipse, you kind of know.
Yeah, nothing sweeter. I drink it straight out of the bottle.
Oh, might as well be chugging Mrs. Butterworth's.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dave's, however. Dave's that Rich Siegel was talking about a while ago. That was also delicious.
I have both. Can you bring us some coffee syrup? No, we don't want to mix. No, double up. That'd be bad. So you need to solve this problem. You need the caffeine.
Yep.
But you don't need the sweets.
But I need to find something I could drink without tearing my tongue out.
Well, and that's something that one of the reasons I put a lot of cream and sugar in my coffee is it's bitter.
Yes. So where this all started was in 2008. An acquaintance was working for a game company over in Japan, and he went on an onsen tour. So he went up into the mountains to all of the spas and hot springs that are out there.
Wonderful.
As he was wandering around town, he stopped dead in his tracks. He went, "That's beautiful." As he beheld beautiful glassware in a triple-tiered room temperature drip system, that they were doing a 16-hour process coffee through three columns of coffee, and they served him what the end result of what they called their Viennese cold extraction, and he said he could feel himself vibrating through walls. And I looked at the picture and I read his story, and then I looked over at the shelves of my glass collection, because before Funranium Labs came into existence, my home was known as the Philip Broughton Home for Wayward and Virgin Laboratory Glassware.
You collect this stuff.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. That's why we have some flasks here. It's really
that's
beautiful.
Exactly why.
Yeah.
Actually, when I brought my fiance over for the first time for dinner, she walked into my kitchen and stopped dead and said, "I can't eat here."
Why?
She's a chemist.
Oh.
And has the chemistry training for thou shalt not eat or drink in a laboratory, and my kitchen looked like one.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
No, it's fine. None of this has been used for chemistry at all. It's strictly food. And four or five more times later, she actually agreed to let me make her food.
So you're working on perfecting coffee making.
Well,
essentially
making it acceptable to me.
Yeah.
When I looked at his that setup, and I looked at my collection, I said, I could probably build that.
Hmm.
Heck, I could probably build three of those. I was asked if I could bring my extraction rig with me, and the answer is no, for two reasons. One, process is the key for how to make it, and that's the secret formula that makes what I do special. Second is it wouldn't fit on your set.
Yeah. Now, I bought, after hearing about this, I got intrigued by the idea of cold brew, and I bought a Yama cold brew drip tower, which I imagine is something like, I have it up here if you want to show it on the screen. It's something like, can you see my computer?
Yeah.
There it is. Something I have
that's
that
very similar to what my friend found
that's what
up
I
at
figured.
The onsen.
And you'd fill the top part there with ice water. Actually, put ice in there,
mm-hmm.
And you titrate that little knob there, so it's about a drip a second. It's very slow.
Roughly, yep.
And there's coffee in that second middle part there with a disc, a ceramic filter disc
yep.
at the bottom of it. There's a completely superfluous, as far as I could tell, spiral.
It makes it very pretty. But it's awfully hard to clean.
Yeah, and
it's so hard to clean.
I can't think of it having any particular value, but it looks good. And then it drips down into the decanter, and it does. It takes a day. To brew maybe 12, 16 ounces of coffee.
And then if you're doing what they were doing at that onsen, you then take the resultant liquor that you had just made and pour it over the second pass.
No.
And then you do it again for a third time.
No.
That's what my friend came across in Japan.
No wonder he was vibrating.
It also was a pretty penny because that's a lot of coffee and a lot of time to go through.
So I know you don't want to reveal the secret to the black blood of the earth.
I can talk in some generalities. Well,
do you talk in some generalities? So it's cold brewed, which means boiling or even hot water doesn't hit it at any point, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Room temperature or ice water?
As close to freezing as I can get.
Really? Okay.
For the duration of the process.
Okay.
I learned a lot of interesting things in the course of the 18 months of experimentation before I let anyone else taste any of this.
Yeah.
Part of it was shelf life. It was learning how long this lasted once I made it.
Right.
I generally quote, it'll last 3 months refrigerated. Some people told me, it was fine after 7. I stick with 3 months, just conservative.
And refrigeration.
Yes, got to keep it cold.
Yeah.
Other interesting things I discovered, while it's not bitter, it's not sweet either. You combine it with straight vodka. Coffee's not sweet. Straight vodka's not sweet. Together, it turns into Kahlua.
Really?
Well, in terms of perceived...
You don't mention this in the Funranium manual anywhere, do you? I missed that part.
You have to keep digging. There's some handy cocktail recipes.
Is that in
there.
The FAQ?
Straight vodka.
Straight?
Not street vodka. Straight vodka.
Straight vodka. Wow, interesting. I'll have to try that.
This has substituted all the Kahlua out of the cocktails I make at home.
It sounds really good.
A chance to have less sugar in my drinks.
It tastes good. So there's no bitterness...
Mm-hmm.
And there, it doesn't stain your teeth.
No acid to etch into the enamel.
Right. And it doesn't upset your stomach.
That actually was I made a friend on campus who had his stomach basically torn apart by his advisor's pot of Army Death Coffee, which, as far as he could tell, was made of hydrochloric acid and Folgers. It left him with a pharmacy full of antacids.
Yeah.
Which and he's I know, gotten to stop using.
As I get older, I do notice that I get an acid stomach if I drink regular coffee. But I like, you know, unfortunately, I like kind of like that bite in the coffee too. Something that you have to decide whether you have to acclimate to. Right, right. But what I do get from this is you really get to taste the flavor of the coffee. I could see from a connoisseur's point of view, and I could see why you use single beans. You really are getting a taste of the coffee that you don't get otherwise.
And it's. So the first thing I set out to do was doing single geographic varietals, if I could, for I want to taste Colombia today.
Yeah.
I want to taste Kenya.
Right.
Actually, one of the more interesting experiments I did was a longitudinal experiment up and down the East African Rift Valley. Just worked my way north from Uganda and went to the top and found that depending upon how far up you went in the Rift Valley... which also is how old the volcanism is how chocolatey or how greasy the coffee tasted. In Uganda, it was a dry, dark, baking chocolate. Delicious. Once you hit Ethiopia, it's hot buttered popcorn.
Huh.
It's greasy. It's savory.
Huh. Interesting.
There's still a hint of chocolate, but it's mostly butter.
Now, and that's because of the soil chemistry, you think?
Soil chemistry changes as the volcanism gets older.
Right.
Among many things that I am is a frustrated volcanologist.
Oh, that's neat.
When I was at UC Santa Cruz, I was a double major in physics, earth sciences, ran out of cash, took my physics degree and ran, but I never stopped loving volcanoes.
That's neat. Well, my dad was a professor of earth sciences at UCSC for many years, so we have something in common.
I am familiar with your dad.
Yeah, same name. So now there are some questions. Now I know a little bit about the chemistry of coffee making, just a little bit, and I've talked to people like Mark Prince, the coffee geek at coffeegeek.com and stuff.
Mark is awesome.
And he's wonderful.
he's
and
he, I've learned a lot that I ended up putting into my own work.
He's
having
brilliant.
His stuff.
He's brilliant. But one of the things that coffee connoisseurs often say is that, you know, creating a cup of coffee is really a question of extracting a variety of different qualities from the beans.
Yes.
And it's acidity, partly. It's partly kind of a tanniny, kind of a puckery, kind of a flavor. It's flavor itself. It's the oils. There's a variety of things we're getting out of the
yep.
beans, some of which you leave behind because you're not using hot water.
Right.
What are you losing? How do you, for instance, with ice cold water, don't the oils just stay in the grind?
So whenever you do a temperature variation, you have your big three controls you can do for coffee, which is temperature, grind level,
right.
time.
Right.
If you're going, and as you know from looking at any three-point graph, it's non-trivial varying in where you move in that triple point diagram. A lot of people who really like a finely extracted espresso, they're not all that fond of Black Blood Earth because it's missing the bite that they really are looking for
yeah.
from a high temperature, high pressure extraction
right.
of very finely ground coffee.
Right.
Moving to very low temperature, the cost I have to do is very long times of extraction.
Hence the slow process.
The shortest duration extraction I do is 48 hours.
Okay, that's much longer than I was doing with this Yama.
Yeah. So this is the other reason why production is limited somewhere around 12 liters per day.
How many? I got it. Can you now? Again, I know it's top secret, but can you? Are there pictures of your setup? Probably not, right?
There's pictures of the earlier iterations of extraction.
You don't want anybody to know how you're doing this.
Iteration one is not much more than a tinkering on the toddy technique.
I have a toddy as well. Now, toddy is is plastic. It's cheap. It's the cheapest way to get into cold brewed coffee is a toddy. It's about $30.
Yep.
It's nothing more, really.
Than a pitcher with a handle.
A pitcher and a hole.
yeah.
And a filter. Also, again, one of these.
The really nice ones have with a filter. The other ones tell you just to pour it through whatever filter you have on.
Yeah,
hand.
So I got some sort of like plasticky, fibery filter, but I imagine that makes a difference too. And mm-hmm. it's the same thing, which is you put a plug in the hole, you let the coffee sit all day, and then you pull the plug and it drips out. And it's always been cold. It's never been hot.
And they basically want you to run it with cowboy coffee as well. So coffee beans you've stomped with your boot.
They
so
want
the
coarse
coarsest
grind.
Of grinds.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
they want to make sure water can permeate through all
the otherwise grind. It gets stuffed up. And
because as far as that technique is concerned, an espresso grind is cement.
Right.
So that's why you need the pressure on the espresso
right.
rig to actually get it through
the
grind.
Thanks to Mark Prince, spent a lot of money on an espresso machine and a fancy Vario, Barazza Vario grinder that I can get, infinitesimal differences in the, and you can easily make a grind that even a 180 bar machine can't possibly push water through. So it's fun to play with these parameters, these three mm-hmm. parameters: time, pressure, and grind, and heat and temperature.
But then you start discovering other ones.
There's more.
So
you use the word vacuum.
I do. Yes. I have an awful lot of scientific gear at my disposal with which to work. So I can pull some fairly tight vacuums to really thoroughly extract on my coffee. By the time I'm done, the grinds are as dry as when I started.
How interesting.
Try not to leave anything behind.
You're extracting every bit of the liquid.
Again, you said if you don't have a hot elution over the coffee, you don't get everything.
Right.
So you need to get as much as you can.
Right, right.
So the other thing, we mentioned I'm a health physicist earlier. So, pop quiz, have you guys figured out what one of those are yet?
Let's ask the chat room. Do you know? There. By the way, I guarantee you we got the coffee fanatics in here. And they note, by the way, that you remind them somewhat of a character on Breaking Bad.
Oh, I hear that a lot.
Who came to a bad end. I don't want to give you any spoilers. But he attempted, using the lab equipment that they were also making methamphetamine with,
yep.
he attempted to make the perfect cup of coffee. And he mentioned pulling a slight vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mention much more, so we don't know exactly
what he was making. Well, I remember that episode. I remember that episode, and my phone started lighting
Did
up.
It?
For, is this what you're doing? Like, no, I'm not making meth.
You're making the closest thing to meth you could that's legal using caffeine. How much caffeine was in this the vial I just drank?
About the back of the envelope calculation.
Yeah.
You just drank roughly 2 ventis.
Oh, wow.
Worth of caffeine.
Oh, so, wow. That's like a couple of 100 milligrams? 400? Is that what you were about to say?
Something like
Please
that.
Please don't. That's a lot. 400 milligrams of vial?
So the important part is it's delicious, Leo.
It is delicious, and I won't be sleeping tonight. Okay.
Eventually. Actually, that's the weird thing that I've found drinking Black Blood Earth, because I'm now the maximally exposed individual.
Absolutely.
At 3 years and change.
Yep.
I can go to sleep happily. It's
really?
Willing
You're
myself
to
sleep.
Oh, interesting.
I will sleep now.
Yeah.
And I can do it.
Really?
If I've had 6 or 7 cups of normal coffee, I can't do it.
So there are other different qualities.
There are other chemicals in coffee beyond caffeine.
Yeah. So have you made a study of this from a scientific perspective, or is it all trial and error, empirical?
So working at UC Berkeley, I have friends who work in the chemistry department.
It's got to be a big subject of conversation.
Oh, yes. So I offered samples for them to work with, and they're going to do a caffeine analysis on the gas chromatograph.
Oh, good.
And...
No more back of envelope.
My friend came to visit me and said, I have some good news and some bad news. And I said, well, what's the bad news? There was so much caffeine, we blew the calibration on the filament and we couldn't get any numbers. I'm sorry. What's the good news? There is so much caffeine. We blew the filament. We got no numbers.
So essentially, it's an unmeasurable amount of caffeine.
I lost my laboratory privileges at that point. That lab manager, because I handed her a bottle, and thanks for letting us do work on her machine. She said, "You killed my machine, and you gave me a bottle of this? Thank you. Get out."
Wait a minute. Are there actual machines designed to measure caffeine, or is this a general purpose?
There are machines specifically designed to do it. Aqueous extraction gas chromatograph columns are not terribly common and also expensive.
Right.
We didn't have one of those at our disposal,
okay.
So we had to do some other extraction techniques to try to figure out the caffeine analysis. And we may have broke some things. Now, speaking of a bottle,
if
by the way...
you want to sell this stuff to normal humans...
Speaking
what's
of
this?
A bottle...
You make a... Oh, no. Holy cow, because I've only seen these in vials.
So
This is a whole bottle of this stuff.
This is actually a gift for you.
Are you trying to kill me?
Maybe. So...
And I, by the way, I am not a novice at this. I am not a neophyte at coffee and caffeine consumption. I consider myself fairly advanced in this area. And still, it makes me... very scared.
This should keep you going for roughly a month.
Let me see. This is great. Are you selling this now at Funuranium Labs?
Yes. That is a 1-liter bottle.
A Black Blood of the Earth. I love the label.
That's actually made by the artist Molly Crabapple, who is another caffeine fiend, who I gave her a couple bottles at the behest of Warren Ellis. Actually, for those of you on the internet who are familiar with Warren Ellis, everything is Warren Ellis's fault.
He blame him for everything.
Yes. In the early days of me tinkering with this, I'd been discussing it on LiveJournal, and Warren had been following with rapt attention. I wasn't aware he had. I used Warren for my very first international shipping test for...
He's in Britain, right?
He's in England.
Yeah.
To see if it could go overseas without getting interdicted by authorities.
And I'm so sorry.
would it still taste good in Arrival? And it did. And he asked me, could I please caffeinate his evil dwarf, Molly Crabapple? And I happily did so. She then, right after Christmas, said, can I please make a label for Black Blood for you?
Oh.
And I said, ow, wrist twist,
yeah.
Please. And then she sent me an email a week later. I said, I don't know what to do. I've been thinking about an octopus enveloping the earth, but that reminded me way too much of the Kraken label. I'm lost help.
This is so good.
I was already several beers into the evening, and I said, the beer tells me that coffee was first discovered by goat herds in Ethiopia who noticed their herds got a little jumpy and bouncy after nibbling on the bushes.
Yeah, bouncy, yeah.
So the beer tells me a science goat with hardware. Oh, and he needs a fabulous mustache. So the ineffable mustachioed goat of science came to heaven.
Oh, he's beautiful.
So thank you, Molly, again for making this for me.
Oh, that is great. And on the back, by the way, I'm now looking at the provenance, and this is Kona. So this is extra special.
You're welcome.
This is extra, extra special.
That's actually where I started.
I love Kona, I have to say. A classic Kona pea berry, there's nothing.
Every opportunity I get, every opportunity any of you get, go to the Captain Cook Coffee
Co-op. That's where I get mine.
They have, at any given time, at least 30 coffees on tap for you to try, and you will leave the co-op vibrating.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
It's amazing. It says on the back, the black blood of the earth, or BBOTE, is a cold extraction concentrate of single geographic coffee varietals from around the world in the interest of not damaging or masking the delicate flavors of cream and sugar. See, you were very kind when I said that I was doctoring my coffee.
Yeah, whatever you like.
That's nice of you. In the process of leaving harsh bitterness and acidity behind, the caffeine was super concentrated as a pleasant surprise.
Whoops.
Serendipity. Served cold and undiluted, which would be in a shot glass.
Yes, shot glasses are a very good measure. In the United States, we don't have a standard shot.
Yeah.
It's somewhere between an ounce and a half to 2 ounces if you ask for a shot in the U.S.
Right.
So an ounce, 43 and a half milliliters.
That's enough.
Shot glasses are a good way to measure.
Yeah. Yeah. This is 50 milliliters per per vial. So just that'll give you an idea where you're going there. Mixed with three parts hot water. That's what we just had.
Yep.
And by the way, delicious.
An Americano.
It's an Americano. Yeah, I was a little reluctant to do that because I thought, well, golly. But it's actually this is a cup of coffee, kind of like what you would be.
This is my email ritual in the morning. If I just have a shot straight and cold, then I have to go directly into email without the pleasure of my mug of coffee keep me company.
We'll talk about the mugs in a sec. And then in equal proportions, which I have to try, I haven't tried that, was vodka. That would be your Kahlua.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of vodka do you like or recommend?
My personal favorite is Hangar One Straight Vodka, which is by the folks down in Alameda at the St. George Spirits Distillery.
Yeah, they distill it right there.
Well, they make it. The vodka now belongs to someone else, but they still make it at St. George
Hangar
Spirits.
One. So that's. I'm going to save this for that.
Actually, that should be enough to keep everyone here going for a while.
We're gonna have a party. That is very kind of you. Thank you so much, Philip. But I want to know more about this setup. So you try different grinds. Tell me about the grind you use. Are you using a very fine grind, or are you using a more coarse grind?
Finish, depending upon which particular bean I'm working on. For each and every bean, I've had to tinker up and down to find what's ideal for
it. I find that's true, too, isn't it? That it's really different beans, different grinds.
For example, this one, which is Death Wish, this is a Robusta coffee, 100% Robusta, from a couple guys up in Rochester, New York, who took a totally different approach to coffee, which was I got high caffeination by serendipity, as you said. They intentionally set out to kill their customers. With love.
Normally we drink Arabica beans.
Yes. In fact, in the early in the my work with this, I was trying to think, I've tasted this Arabica. Right. Is there any such thing as a good Robusta?
Right. Robusta is considered kind of a cheaper...
Yeah, your MGB that used to be lying in the bottom shelf of the grocery store.
Right.
And pretty much going to the roasters around the Bay Area, if I mentioned, so what about Robusta? There's get out. Because if you so much as breathe the word Robusta, you had contaminated their roastery.
Wow. Not so, apparently.
No. So there was a couple guys in Rochester, New York, who always have been complimented by their patrons. That's a good, strong cup of coffee. And they sort of scratched their head and went, that's French roast. I'm sure the flavor is strong, but it's been burnt within a cinder and has very little caffeine left.
Right.
Because the longer you roast something, the less caffeine you have as you've driven off more oils.
Right.
So they decided to try to fix that for their customers, where they actively sought out the highest caffeine content Robusta coffee they could find, so that when they did that full French roast on it, it still had a lot of caffeine left for their customers. There was a gentleman in Baltimore by the name of test subject Chris DeBeck, who was about to head to the SCA event, the Pensick War, up in Pennsylvania. And he said, I need something to keep me awake for days, and I don't want to do meth.
Oh, dear.
So I've looked at this Death Wish stuff, and it looks great. And I really love Black Blood because it does the business.
Right.
Have you considered making Black Blood out of Death Wish?
Ooh.
For you, I will. And there were two extra bottles, which I went, put it up on the prototypes and damaged goods section on the store. And they were gone in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Along with a long list of emails. Could you make more of that? I can.
You're practically a pusher man at this point.
I push nothing. People just say please. The Death Wish is actually not a flavor I like. It is the only Black Blood I make I'm not fond of. The general rule...
I want to try it, of course, and everybody at home wants to try it.
My general rule, and I've got asked this question a lot of times, is there any coffee you make you don't like?
And, that's one. Huh?
And I said, well, generally, if I didn't like it, there's no way in hell I'm going to share it with anyone because
right.
I like you.
Right. But this is one that...
Death Wish is the one, okay, enough people demand it, and apparently enough people like it, and my tongue is the only one that doesn't. However, I have found a recipe that it is delicious with. Again, we're going to discuss more alcohol here. Three parts absinthe over ice, let loosh. Two parts Death Wish, and stir. It looks like a three-day-old bruise. It is ugly and greenish-brown. It looks like it hurts before you even drink it. It tastes delicious. It's like New Orleans chicory coffee.
Oh, interesting.
It's got that licorice-y root beer flavor to it.
I bet it would be good, actually. Yeah, now that you mention it.
Since there are very few absinthe that are less than 140 proof, it's
a speedball.
It is. if you add a dash of Chipotle vodka to it in a pint glass and fill the rest of the pint glass up with... Are you hurting, Leo?
Yes.
Fill the rest of the pint glass up with chocolate soy milk. This is a drink known as Andy's Breakfast.
Does Andy consume this daily?
Not daily.
Yeah. Andy would have to take a few weeks to recover.
Andy is the tasting room manager at St. George Spirits.
Wow.
And is not human.
No kidding. Wow, this is so cool. We're talking to Philip Broughton, of Funranium Labs. He is Funranium on Twitter, and his website where you can buy what we're talking about is funraniumlabs.com.
There's also plenty of BS and blather to enjoy and read there.
There is.
Well.
There's great stuff. You know, one thing I find about coffee people is they have lots of energy to write write about coffee.
Yep. Yep, lots of time, and it's 3 a.m.
Who needs to sleep?
I'll write something.
So you can get the Black Blood of the Earth sampler. So now, there's so much to talk about, and I've had an entire cup of this stuff. So.
I've noticed you're talking considerably faster than we started.
I am definitely buzzed.
Welcome.
And it's legal. Wouldn't feed it to anybody under the age of maybe 25. You're playing with different ways of doing this. Again, the caffeine you just said is in the oils. So you got to get the oils.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a lot of the flavor. The acidity and bitterness, you're content with leaving that behind.
Yes.
Yes. And so what are you – so you're playing with grinds. You're playing with
– temperature.
Temperature.
Time.
So it's not always this 32 degrees, 0 degrees.
It's generally as close to that as I can stay.
So you do think that the coldest possible.
You got to hold something constant to work against.
Yeah.
I've also been asked by a lot of people, have you ever considered roasting your own beans?
Right.
And I've had to admit, I have only so many skills, and I'm going to leave that to people who really know what they're doing. And
it sounds like you're going to interesting places to get your beans, like deathwishcoffee.com.
they're fun people. I have been to most of the small roasters all around the Bay Area. I have... Actually, after Warren Ellis received his six-pack, and I could feel his dance of delight.
That's great.
6,000 miles away. I got dropped an email by some folks up in Seattle, Cafe Vita, asking, do you experiment with people's stuff? I haven't before, but if you want to send me something, sure, I'll try it. One of the coffees they sent me actually ended up being my very favorite, and which is the Guatemalan Mundo Nuevo, which unfortunately they're out of.
Yeah.
Which is heartbreaking because I would kill for more.
Yeah. Well, next year.
Probably sometime around August.
Yeah.
The problem with doing small geographic locality coffees from single farms is they run out like that.
Sure.
Which you do a... But you know, wait till next year.
It's not bad because it creates
hunting.
A scarcity. It creates, it's not, if there's not a plentitude, you enjoy it when you've got it. And then you have to wait till August or whatever.
Patience.
So what is, are you doing this in your house still? Or do you have a special lab somewhere that you do this?
The loft where I live has a part of it that's been sectioned off as the lab and workshop.
And I imagine over time you've inquired tables and glassware. And
I already had a hell of a lot of glassware.
You were almost set already, huh?
Pretty much.
It's like me in podcasting. You know, I had all the gear, so I had to do it. Okay. And if I were to go in there, would it be a forest of tubes and beakers and...
We'll safely call it a serious earthquake hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of glass waiting to suffer gravity.
And do you, first thing in the morning, you get up and you start a bunch of stuff? I mean, how does... And then you go to work and then you come back and you finish it? Or how does
Most of it's done after work.
Okay. So a lot of late nights. How long does it take to brew one of these vials?
Well, that's sectioned off of a larger run. As I said, I end up making 9 to 12 liters a day.
And that would be a single varietal for each of those. And when you say a day, is it an 8-hour process? How long does it take?
My full extraction time is about 5 hours after work.
So it's pretty quick. You've got it down to a science, so to speak.
Most of it's some waiting. Over those couple days of just, it's doing its thing.
Right.
I'll get back to you when it's for the end stage to pull it all off.
Oh, so you're saying 5 hours of active work.
Yeah.
How much total time from beginning to end?
Total time, at least 48.
Oh, really? Okay, so it is quite a long process. Yeah. How interesting. Do you want to tell me any more? First of all, I don't think there's a lot of competition. Are there other people doing this?
There are. Chameleon Coffee has done a very good job with theirs. I've received several hundred emails for, these people are ripping you off.
Right.
No, they're not. They're doing their thing.
This has been going on for a while, this cold brew stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. And they're doing their thing. I had some Chameleon that I enjoyed, some I didn't. They had some Black Blood they enjoyed, and some they didn't.
I think it's very open of you to even mention them. That's impressive.
If I'm to be brutally honest, this is my hobby.
Right. You don't make a living doing this.
It is a hobby that provides some cash.
But you're doing okay.
I'm never giving up the day job because mainly I enjoy playing with radioactive materials. So you can't pay me enough to stop playing with radiation.
And you wash your hands thoroughly after you come home, right?
That's the work day.
But actually, probably the probable case is this is safer than anything else because you are a health physicist. So you make sure that it's safe.
For a given value of safe of...
Those Chameleon guys, who knows?
Oh, no.
They don't know. They aren't trained.
Speaking of safety, the 1-liter bottle which you received, don't chug that. Also, by back of the envelope calculations, 1 liter consumed acute dose, so chug.
This would actually kill you.
You are in the neighborhood of the lethal dose 50 for caffeine.
And you wouldn't feel good. That means 50% of the people who drank this would die.
Yes. If you drank it all at once.
All at once. And you wouldn't feel good, more importantly.
You would feel not so great long before
happened. You would, frankly, you would wish you were dead long before you'd actually expire.
You would start enjoying hallucinations.
Really?
So one of the fun things I've learned about caffeine in the course of doing the grand pharmacopoeia of coffee is while caffeine, everyone calls it a stimulant, it's better categorized as hallucinogen. It's a focus drug.
Well, it does. Now, I remember it blocks the neuroreceptors that are normally used for the chemicals that cause sleep.
Yes. The reason why people always say, I need a cup of coffee before I get to work on this, is so they can pay attention to what they're doing.
It focuses you.
And with a good mug of Black Blood of the Earth, I'd often do the, oh, hey, 5 hours went by. It's lunch. I missed lunch.
Right. Hyper-focus.
Generally, when people take hallucinogens, it's, I want to see everything, man. I want to be open to the world. But the point of caffeine is, I see this.
Yeah, it's blinders.
I am paying intense attention to that.
But it is a modifying your brain chemistry in the same way that hallucinogenic drugs modify your brain chemistry.
Now, having mentioned what lethal dose 50 is, you hit caffeine toxicity earlier than that. Caffeinism would be better described actually as theophyllinism, which is one of the other active components in hot brewed coffee, because there's more than just caffeine in coffee beans.
Oh, interesting. So it's not the caffeine also, that is doing...
Not necessarily.
It's not the only psychoactive.
It is not the only chemical in coffee when it's hot brew. My running theory is, working with Black Blood of the Earth, I am selectively extracting caffeine over theophyllin, which, if odds in favor, you've probably heard of that courtesy of tea, because that's the main thing you get out of tea.
And I was always of the impression that the theophyllin was almost a relaxant. That's not
no.
the case. Okay.
If I were to prescribe theophyllin to you, it would be as an asthma drug.
Yeah, that's how it's used for COPD stuff. Yeah.
Set your heart racing, open the bronchi, and you'll get jittery, which sounds a whole lot like you've had a whole bunch too much coffee.
So I don't want the theophyllin.
You might. I mean, if you're having an asthma attack.
So you're, in effect, selecting for caffeine.
It's my working theory. I have definitely noticed that if I have the second dose of the day too early, this, by the way, is 7 hours after my morning dose, so A-okay. I'll be fine, love. Don't worry about me. I will start hearing the hooting and whistling of the outer gods.
Wow.
You start getting tones and whines in your ear. The thing you're looking
at
will start vibrating a little bit. Yes, I have.
Oh, dear.
So while you may be tempted to have a second cup, wait a bit before you do that.
And that's the problem, because coffee is so good, and this is so delicious, you do actually want to have more of it.
Yeah.
I'm really tempted to try that.
No.
Death wish.
No.
Please?
No. Tomorrow. You can have some tomorrow.
Please.
Bad Leo.
Yeah. Because it's really good.
It's very good.
It's really good.
And unfortunately, I'm out too.
Do you drink this? You drink it hot.
Generally. When I'm doing the tasting.
It's so good.
The tasting with extraction to make sure that I like the result of every single batch I taste, which means I'm having some at night. I've had to make a rule for myself. I won't do Death Wish extractions after 2 p.m. because Death Wish leaves me staring at the ceiling.
Yeah. You couldn't just take a little taste. And just see how that is.
No, a couple sips. You have to make...
Even that's too much.
You have to do a couple sips to acclimate the tongue, if nothing else, just to make sure you're not tasting your dinner beforehand.
Mm, my precious.
Uh-oh. And
Who cares? All right, well, we're going to talk about temperature, because I also want to talk about the Steins of science in just a moment, because I have one. And, you know, you may think you've experienced the thermos flask, the vacuum flask. You may think you know what a flask is, but no. No, my friend Philip has figured out a much better way to keep your cold beverages cold and your hot beverages hot. Before we talk about that, let's talk about our good friends at Pond5, the world's stock media marketplace. If you're up at 2 in the morning and have the urge to create a PowerPoint presentation on the value of caffeine in daily creative life, perhaps you need some illustrations. Where better to go than Pond5.com? Look at this. 1.4 million video clips. There were 12,000 new ones this week alone. 8.2 million photos. 23,000 fresh this week. Somebody's up there drinking the Black Blood of the Earth. 753,000 illustrations. 683,000 music tracks. 276,000 sound effects. This is great for presentations, for podcasts, for any kind of multimedia creation. Pond5 And one of the reasons there's so much great stuff there, it's a marketplace. In fact, the Pond 5 folks tell me that many of their customers are also creators and sell their content on Pond 5. Prices are very affordable. What you're getting is royalty-free media. That means you pay once, something from like $2 for sound effects, $5 for a stock video clip, and then it's yours to use and keep and incorporate into your productions forever. Beautiful stuff, too. 1080p, super high-quality video, amazing free stock video clips every month. You might want to check those out. You could just download those, use those in your presentations. Stock images. And the people who use Pond 5 and create content to sell on Pond 5 love it because it is the fairest place for stock media creators. They give the highest royalties and you set the price. So if you've created a beautiful image that you know people would want to use of, I don't know, the Easter Bunny, because Easter's coming up, you could upload it to Stock 5, sell it on Pond 5, and sell it on Pond 5. Set the price, get 50%. It is the best royalty in the market. You're happy. Your customers are happy. It's just a great place. Feel good about what you're using. Pond5.com. Now, here's our special offer. Are they still doing this? I thought this was only going to be in November and December. I'm hoping this is
still going.
Still going. That's great. If you go to our website, pond5.com/triangulation, let me just check it just to make sure it's still doing it. You get 50 free stock media files of all kinds. There are a couple of benefits to doing this. One of the reasons they want it costs you nothing. Yeah, they're still doing it. Is because you'll get a sense of what the browser's like, of how to use Pond 5. You'll be setting up a Pond 5 account. And so I think they know that if, you know, they give you these free, you're going to get some benefit from it. Look at this video of Stonehenge. This is gorgeous stuff. Pond 5. Oh, and you can see, I like this too. You can see the creator, and you can see what else he or she has done. And that's nice, too, because if you can become a fan of somebody. Listen to some of the sound effects. Fiery smoke. Look at that. There are people who specialize in this stuff. Just great stuff. Pond5.com/triangulation for 50 free.
Fire.
Isn't that beautiful? There are people who specialize in... By the way, there's a watermark on it, but when you buy it, of course, there's no watermark. Who specialize in this. This is hard to shoot yourself, as I'm sure you would imagine. Lighting is difficult and all that. And,
I know where my skills are.
That's not that. But let's say you wanted to do some great creative and presentation of what it feels like when you've had 200 milliliters of the black blood of the earth. Then you could have... See, I love this. This is beautiful. Pond5.com, I love them! And you will, too. Try them out today. They're theophylline free. You'll like it for that reason alone. What's interesting is more and more research says that coffee in particular, is good for you.
I've been sent a variety of those pages.
Yeah.
Every time a new one pops up.
Yeah.
Phil, you're saving us.
Yeah.
I'll thank you.
And most of the anecdotal evidence that it's bad for you has been debunked. So feel free. Consume with gusto.
But not mass quantities.
But not more than one vial a day. Oh, my. So I love these Steins of Science. Now,
I see a question that has popped up.
Oh, please, yes. Answer any questions.
Civet Cat Coffee.
Which I have had and like.
I have gotten asked many occasions.
When are you making that?
I have made it before.
And?
It didn't taste that great.
Didn't like it.
It wasn't that much different
right.
than the normal hot brew.
It's very expensive. The premise being that the civet cats eating these beans and passing them through their digestive tracts are in some way leaching out the bitterness.
It wasn't bad, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
The digestive enzymes of the cats are cleaning up and filtering out, soaking out of the beans.
Polishing it, if you will.
Yeah. that's one way to look at it didn't taste much different.
Yeah, it does if you hot brew it.
It
because you're cold brewing it. I bet you don't.
There wasn't much left
right.
to go. So, I've gotten asked, have you tried the Civet Cat? Have you tried the Elephant Coffee? Have you
Elephant? Really?
Yes.
You know the story of how this came about. It's in Wikipedia, so it's got to be true.
Oh no! Don't get my girlfriend started.
Is she a librarian by any chance?
No, she's a chemist, and Every time she started class, she had to begin with Wikipedia, not a primary source.
Secondary.
Feel free to start your research
point,
there. Start
but
there.
Don't end there. Yeah. Well, I think this is true, is that when the Dutch colonialists came, I can't remember where, Sumatra or wherever, came,
yep.
they took over the coffee
Batavia.
Plantations. Batavia. But whatever, one of them places. Something with an A at the end. They came and they took over the coffee plantations and they told the indigenous population, you can harvest the coffee, you can grow the coffee, but the coffee is for us. We're drinking it. And, of course,
it demanded a healthy, healthy premium.
Yeah.
It was not quite opium values.
Yeah,
but
take away coffee from somebody like you and me,
and
you're
going to. Bad times.
You're not going to be. So the indigenous people started to notice that the civet cats that came and raided the coffee plantations tended not to digest the bean in its entirety, but to excrete it.
Mm-hmm.
And started collecting the beans, which the Dutch apparently didn't want, from the cat poop, brewing it up and having a fine cup of joe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that became a local tradition that eventually the Dutch probably figured that
out.
There
are a couple coffee varieties that have always been touted as being very mild.
Right.
That if you don't like coffee, you'll love these ones.
But I like coffee, so I don't.
The Sodamo. Ethiopian Sodamo and Sulawesi, which is Indonesian.
And what is it that's characteristic of them that people don't like? Normal is it bitter? It's bitterness.
No, it's the generally people don't like the bitterness or acid.
Right.
But these two particular varieties are normally quoted as being these are very mild.
Mild, not bitter.
Which means there's not much there to start with.
Right. Right.
So I have to have something I can extract from. If there's nothing to extract from,
to throw away.
there just wasn't much anywhere to go. So I've tried it, guys. You don't have to ask anymore.
And I'm not having any more civet because I see now that the modern civet coffees, they're kept in pens, and it's not a very pleasant environment for them. So
because now it's industrial production.
Yeah, makes sense to me. That's the Kopi Luwak coffee. And it's also insanely expensive.
It is, but it was worth trying once.
What's your favorite?
My favorite is the Guatemalan Mundo Nuevo.
Oh, that's right.
That Cafe Vita provided to me. A close second that I'm working with now is actually from a coffee roaster in Chicago named Ipsento. They have a Panamanian that I'm very fond of, that fresh grinding of the bean, putting it up into process and extracted and drinking at every stage of the process. It was blueberries.
Oh, neat.
Blueberries and milk chocolate.
Do you have any of that on your store right now?
Not right now.
So that's one thing to note, is that you are making this, and you're making it with whatever is available, because
It has shown up in a couple people's sampler two packs, because the sampler two packs have Death Wish, Panama, Colombia, Peru in it, and two mystery vials, which are at my whim. So in my whim at times has included people getting the Absento Panama.
But you will get the Nuevo Venus.
The Nuevo Venus, unfortunately, that which we just had.
That's the last of it?
That finished in December. That was the substitute for the Mundo Nuevo.
It was really good.
Small batches.
I'm sad.
Small farmers. They do good work.
That would make me
feel
better.
They need to make
more. So, in fact, that's how I got introduced. You get 5 vials.
Ten
vials.
Pack.
Oh, that's good. So they're $5 each,
pretty much.
And and it's a good way to sample it. There's a couple of cups of coffee in there, unless you do what I did, which is pour the entire vial.
Yeah.
Not
a sampler pack too.
There you go, right there. And I highly recommend this. Now you're not going to get this right away, because you're making it right now. So it says the 20th.
So you saw that the pre-orders will be completed by January 20th for the slots that are currently up. It's all your fault, Leo.
tell me. Now I don't know. Did we do that on the air? No, I think it was before the show began. So Rich Siegel says, "Black Blood of the Earth, you got to try this." I order some. What happened?
So he held up his empty bottle to you.
I think we almost put you out of business.
No, you just cost me 2 months of sleep and caused a lot of angry faces from my fiance. Coming to bed?
I'm so sorry.
Are you done yet? Can we ever have the house back from shipping boxes?
Oh, my God. Good.
But
I hope we introduce some people to your coffee.
With every stage of a wave that has hit Funuranium Labs, I have learned a valuable lesson.
What's that?
First, it was Warren Ellis proofings to make sure that the servers could handle him.
Him alone?
Him alone. So really, I hit the point of, yes, I've Warren Ellis proofed the website. Then you happened. And
I take it I was as bad as Warren Ellis?
Far worse. The Twit army is large.
It is large and it loves its coffee.
But the server survived.
Good.
I didn't have inventory controls in place, however, which is how I ended up with a two-month backlog that I got to do a lot of apologizing for. Ooh. For I am so sorry. This is going to take me a while to get to. I am so sorry.
And I feel guilty because I jumped the line. I think my order kind of got ahead of the others.
Yeah. Well, you asked for a stein and coffee. So.
Yes. That's how I knew I would get through to you.
Yes.
Give me a stein, too. The steins are not cheap.
No, because they're built with scientific hardware.
They're amazing. They are also not pretty, unless you like form to follow function. These are the various steins. I have
This is the one I was drinking out of earlier.
Yeah.
This is the 350 mil.
I have the larger one, I believe.
No, actually, you have...
I have that one?
You have the ruggedized version of this one, because I guess you thought you might have been clumsy.
I did, and that's exactly right. So describe what makes these special.
Okay. So the steins of science are built using a laboratory liquid nitrogen dewar. These are the vessels we use to keep liquid nitrogen or any cryogenic fluid in.
The dewar is the vessel.
Vessel itself.
And it's really a vacuum.
Vacuum flask.
Right, flask.
It was made by John Dewar at the turn of the last century.
Interesting.
He is related to the Dewar whiskey family. He was a teetotaler. He was making gear for the family. We don't hold that against him. When he patented this, and then it went up for licensing, in America, the company that bought the license and trademarked it was Thermos.
Right.
Which is why Dewar flasks are known as Thermoses, or were for decades sold on the market.
Right.
The very best thermos you can buy out there today, which is going to be a double glass-walled silvered thermos. Generally, you'd have to go down to a thrift store to find a really good one, or you have to loot your grandfather's garage.
They don't make them as good anymore.
They don't make them as good as they used to be.
Yeah.
The ones that Grandpa would yell, "Don't drop it!"
Yeah, because I remember many a time coming home from school with shattered glass and no thermos.
Yeah.
Because they're made of glass.
It broke. It didn't bang.
No, it didn't bang.
So the cheaper thermoses were just isolated double walls.
Right.
So
with air in between.
Glass, air, glass. Air is a very poor conductor of heat.
Right.
So just that insulating layer did a very good job at holding heat.
Yeah.
The better ones had a vacuum pulled in that space between to reduce the conductivity.
Right.
So it went.
So if there's no molecules in there, it's not going to conduct heat at all.
Ah, so we're beating the punch. Leo, I'm taking you back to high school. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Back to physics class.
Maybe
name
I have
the
some
three
of that
modes of no. Please name the three modes of thermal transfer.
I have no idea. Wait a minute.
John
Slonina, say it out loud.
I'll say conduction.
One,
radiation.
Two. And
yeah. Riposter has it.
Convection.
Convection. You're cheating, but you're reading.
He did this, though, but that looks like a convection
yes,
current.
I've...
So, all right, I got it.
So,
convection, conduction, and radiation. So radiation is the sun's heat is radiating on you.
Or, no, actually, anything that is above absolute zero is constantly
radiates.
Losing
right.
energy
right.
as electromagnetic radiation.
Right.
Convection is the mass mixing of materials. Cold things aren't swirling around a lot, but hot coffee, hot tea,
right.
you're seeing the steam roiling off of it. That's convective heat loss there. Last one's conduction, which is body-to-body transfer. So when
right.
you pick up your pint glass of beer, you are warm. Glass is cold because it's touching cold beer. You can feel the heat passing from you
Absolutely.
To your beer, which is sad because your beer is getting warm.
In the exact equivalent to your hand getting cold.
Right. The point of having the doer is to try to cut all three of those transfer modes as much as you possibly can.
Oh, interesting. Not just conductive.
By having a vacuum, you have a very weak thermal circuit right at the top.
Right.
As you can see looking in
something
there.
Something has to touch.
It's silvered.
Right, yeah.
So there, yes, something has to touch. There's very little space to do thermal conduction across to have that heat transfer to your fluid. As I said, cold things, not a lot of convective heat change. And it is silvered to minimize heat
radiation
going into it, being radiated into your fluid. So really your only place to do thermal transfer is to air, which is not a good conductor of heat, or by your sipping with your filthy monkey heat. That is a quote.
You haven't been able to solve that one, I take it.
No, because you do have to drink your drink.
Whose quote is that?
That actually comes from the Caffeinatrix of Portland. So, Portland, you're the local person who distributes black blood up there. She has dubbed herself the Caffeinatrix. Her name is Jessica Hebert.
I love Jessica Hebert.
She had all of her gear out and was doing one of her own experiments working at Oregon State Hospital.
Is that for the criminally insane or just the regular insane?
Plain old insane.
Okay.
Plain old insane.
It's not Arkham Asylum.
They pay her and everything.
You don't want to give them caffeine.
So she was looking at her stein, which she had sitting outside of the laboratory with her soda in it. She was looking at her experiment and wondered how well her stein that I'd given her for her wedding was really working. So she put her processed thermocouples on it and regularly went out to go take sips of her drink, come back to work, and found that she was gaining heat at roughly a third of a degree an hour.
Wow.
Despite sipping it and, quote, adding her dirty monkey
heat. That's very, very little. So, you know, it's going to take you 30 hours to raise it 10 degrees. It's basically inert.
Pretty much.
So this would be for keeping beer cold.
That was the original reason it happened, was because of Oktoberfest 2008.
I can't wait to bring that to Munich, I got to tell you.
So,
and by the way, it comes with a very nice scientific grade stopper as well.
Yes.
So that I presume. Oh, now see, that's beautiful.
Have a peeky poo.
That is a work of art. So which one is this? Is not the ruggedized.
That is the decidedly not ruggedized.
Yeah.
That is the 665 shiny brass.
That is beautiful. And so it comes with this stopper. If you put a hot or cold liquid in here with a stopper and did not add your monkey heat, it would go probably days or weeks without much.
Days,
yeah.
The one you're holding right now, as you can see,
the
mirrored silvered glass there, unlike this one.
Yeah, this is more like the one
which has the aluminum shield on the side of it.
Oh, that's pretty. I like that, too.
Mine has seen a couple years of abuse.
Yeah, it looks like...
The oxidization on it.
Prost!
Oh, yes, that's an important teaching opportunity. So what you have there is bare silvered glass right there.
Bare silvered glass.
So if you were to break that, it would shatter most spectacularly.
Oh, this is not metal.
That's not metal. That's bare glass.
Oh, okay.
So, remember...
Do they make doers like that, that are all glass? I guess so. Yeah.
They certainly do. As I was telling you, the best thermoses had a vacuum pulled in them. The very best thermoses had about a tenth of an atmosphere of vacuum in the space between them. These are laboratory gear. There is a 10 millionth of an atmosphere.
Holy cow.
When you break these...
There's an implosion.
They implode.
Yeah.
It sounds like a gunshot going off as they shatter.
Wow. That's why I got the rugged one.
Yes. You treat them as delicately as you treat any other piece of glassware. While those are beautiful, I like the full metal
this
jacket.
I'm afraid this is going to implode here.
Oh,
but
don't
it's like a vacuum tube or a television.
Exactly.
Not a modern television, but an old
under
CRT.
Vacuum.
They're under vacuum. Of course, now, are you making these or are you buying these?
I'm purchasing doers that someone else has already made and then converting them into steins.
Okay.
With the magic of attaching a handle.
And now, hence the clips around here.
Now, I get asked by a lot of people, all you did was attach a handle. What was to which I, as the former cryotech, said, attach a handle without breaking it.
That's not easy.
Means.
Yeah.
So you'll see there's a warning on the base there. That says, wear safety glasses, gloves, smock while consuming. No, this is not because it assumes you are a messy drinker. It assumes that you are using it for liquid nitrogen, which you certainly can still do with
it. So this is the original... So if I were to get some liquid nitrogen, this would be a very good thing to store it in.
Yes, which is why I have the warning label on there. Because you can still use it for its original purpose.
I might.
It's great for ice cream.
I'm just thinking for making ice cream or hard
liquid
freezing.
Liquid nitrogen cocktails are actually fairly nice. That's one of the things I did down in Antarctica.
Tell me about that.
Oh, dear. Okay. So.
This is going to be the longest show ever.
I have no idea when we end.
It's going to be the longest show ever. I don't know. As you said, I am hyper-focused now, and I think we've been going for 20 minutes, but I'm not sure.
Eventually, we have to get cocktails to continue this. But
bring me the vodka!
Oh, dear.
What's the best vodka we have? Not that Grey Goose. We must have something better than that. Is that okay?
It's not bad.
Look at my... Oh, how about the Crystal Skull? It's in my office.
If I known we could have drunk on this show, I would have brought my bar.
You don't have to bring a bar.
No one
that's a little bit of Coles to Newcastle. So this is great. So, all right. And by the way, I was told you have some good stories about Antarctica. Did you work there or were you just visiting?
I worked there for a year and a day at Amundsen Scott South Pole Station.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
We are actually on the 10-year anniversary of pretty much everything I did there. I was there for the 2002-2003 season. My job was cryogenics science technician. So it was my job to keep things cold in Antarctica.
In the Antarctica. An easy job, some might say.
No. Antarctica's not cold enough.
It isn't that cold.
It's
cold.
It's only on average minus 85 at South Pole Station. On
Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Fahrenheit.
It's pretty cold.
Oh dear.
Oh, we've achieved the crystal head. Would you please carefully put on your apron, your smock? I've never opened this because it is autographed by Dan Aykroyd, but I've been waiting for
an
occasion.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi, Dan.
I've been waiting for an occasion to open the crystal head vodka.
You know, Dan Aykroyd, I just watched.
He makes this.
I know. I just watched Sneakers again the other night. So I have a friend.
Is he in Sneakers?
Yes, he is. He's Mother in Sneakers.
Oh, that's right.
He's their controller and conspiracy nut.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I actually have a friend both friends, who make the comic book Atomic Robo.
Oh, how fun.
And they're working on some of their expanded projects. And as I was reading the script that Brian Clevenger was writing for an upcoming one, I looked at it and went, I hear Dan Aykroyd in my head.
Oh.
You have hit Charles Fort perfectly.
I have Dan Aykroyd's head right here, so it's perfect. I'm going to let you do the honors. I've peeled the plastic off, but you know how to combine.
Okay. Now, we're going to have to split this because
I don't want a whole lot of coffee.
I'm not letting you have a whole lot of coffee.
I'm already not sleeping tonight. And I was in Vegas this morning, so I really am.
You know, hand me your bottle.
Okay. Should I open this?
No, hand me your bottle of black blood.
Oh, no. Should we take the Kona in vain? Oh, careful with that. That too, you should wear an apron. Look, he's taking out his leather man to open this thing up.
No, this is Gerber. Der Gerber.
What is it?
Der Gerber.
Der Gerber Tour. Ein Gerber Tour.
Courtesy of the NASA Ames Space Center, which is...
Oh, it's a NASA Gerber.
Standard issue gear for them out there.
Is it really? The astronauts use a Gerber tool?
That's good. No, the people working in the machine shops do, at least.
Oh, yeah.
It's very important to have friends who are machinists.
Where do you get your doers?
The doers are coming from a variety of manufacturers who are mostly sourcing from China.
Uh-huh.
I wish that we had more American manufacturers of them, but mostly
young children sucking as hard as they can to create the vacuums. I shouldn't do that while you're boring.
don't make me laugh.
This is a very small amount of that. Here you go, and then I'll let you
dash
because you know how to make this Kahlua thing that you're making here. Mm-hmm. I think Dan put this one in by himself. There's no Gerber tool for this. All right, there you go.
Oh, Dan, how we miss you.
Alas, poor Aykroyd. I knew him, Horatio. A man of infinite jest.
Stop it.
So these are intended both for hot and cold, but you created them for beer initially. Thank you.
Yep. It was actually really both of the things that I have, Black Blood of the Earth and the Stein Science, came out of sad events.
Oh.
Black Blood came out of being diagnosed with diabetes.
Yeah.
The Steins of Science came out of receiving furloughs from the University of California.
Oh, dear.
When we were having our budget troubles several years back.
Yeah.
I had, that very first furlough day, I took my fiance in to work because she still had group meetings. She was still doing research. So I dropped her off, went back home, sitting in the kitchen in my underpants.
Something you'd be doing a lot of in the days and weeks to come.
This is not a day off. I still have to go pick her up. So I can't I can't start having cocktails at 9 in the morning.
Oh, no.
What am I going to do? Oktoberfest is this weekend. Where's my stein? And I have a nice earthenware stein.
Sure. The traditional stein.
By the way, Prost.
Prost. You did it right. I don't think I could fit my hand in there.
By the way, if you have a stein and you are doing toasting, always handle-to-handle toast. Because
otherwise, you can imagine.
If you have a fine... I actually learned this courtesy of the owner of the Tyrolean Inn where I went to for Oktoberfest. So, back to the story.
Yeah. And by the way, it applies not only to fine earthenware steins, but really, you really wouldn't want to smash a flask glass to glass. Is this... Oh.
Yum.
Mmm. Okay, you won me over. That's remarkable.
Vodka's not sweet, coffee's not sweet. Together they are.
That's remarkable.
At least black blood is not sweet.
No, this sweet. Tastes together delicious. This is a revelation.
So, I went looking for earthenware stein, couldn't find it.
Yeah.
But I opened my cabinet and I found the 2-liter Dewar that I bought a couple years before. On the principle of, I don't know why I need a Dewar,
but
I don't have a reason not to have a Dewar. And I just sort of looked at it, did the squint. Stein. I can make a stein
That's
out
neat.
Of that. And 9 hours and quite a bit of blood later, I had one. And we went to Oktoberfest that weekend at the Tyrolean Inn down in Ben Lomond.
And you brought that.
Actually, I did not bring the one that I made that day.
Yeah.
And the waitress came up and said, what is that? It's a beer stein made with a liquid nitrogen flask. Do you want beer in it? Yes. It's 2 liters. It's a little heavy. And she gave me the most withering sneer. I do this. And took it away, came back with 4 moss on this hand, 2 moss on my stein on the other.
Wow.
Just dropped on the table and said, the owner wants to know about that.
Oh, that's neat.
And the owner came out and I told him what I told you regarding
story.
How it keeps beer cold.
Forever.
How doers work? He said, how much? I did a rough calculation of what my hourly wage is, how much blood I'd expended building it, and came up with an off the top of it, 800. He said, that's it? What? He went and got his stein out, which was, he brought out the beautiful earthenware stein with Neuschwanstein on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And said, that cost me $3,000, and it won't keep my beer as cold as what you've got.
Excellent point.
And
he can look at the stein and drink.
He's the one
who
taught me the handle clean, because you don't want to destroy Neuschwanstein, all the beautiful art.
And if it were, if it's a glass sided flask, it's probably a good idea too.
Now I didn't bring the number one with me.
What's the number one?
Oh no!
Oh, did you lose your mic there? Just clip it back
off. Lost my mic.
You're an engineer. You could figure this out. He's a trained physicist. Look at this. Wait a minute. What the hell? That's a barrel. That's not...
This is the Imperial Gallon. This is the 4.3 liter stein, which is very important to do backstrapping. I have actually...
You need a winch.
So when you're doing science, weights and measures are so important. When I made this stein, or actually its predecessor, I looked up at why would we have 4,300 milliliters as a standard size for a Dewar, and I figured out that 4,300 milliliters is an imperial gallon.
4.3 liters.
What's an imperial gallon? Imperial gallon's definition is 10 pounds of water. This stein alone weighs 15 pounds.
It's got a 25-pound
So
chug
when
there.
You fill that, and if you go to the website, there is – if you go to the – the product listing for the 4,300 stein, there is the tale of my evening using one. And you can see how much beer it took to fill this. It was 2 magnums of Anchor Steam Christmas along with, I think, 5 more 12-ounce bottles. And it was a workout while I drank because it was a 25-pound arm curl. That got progressively lighter by like a half ounce at times. I am not in good enough shape to drink with this stein. I was crippled on my right side for 3 days afterwards.
Trust me, by the way. Wow, you can buy this. It's only $515. It's a bargain.
So That first Stein, when I was asked how much it costs, that was based upon how long did it take me to make Stein number one. And I didn't really know.
Faster.
I figured out the fine art of making it. Oh, God, can't leave my fine drink behind.
You brought some beautiful Stein. So these are all at funraniumlabs.com at the store there. Have you ever broken the flask making these?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
As I was saying about the warning label on it, I leave it on because you might choose to use it with liquid nitrogen. For human beverages, that's not a worry for the Stein disintegrating.
Right.
But you better believe I'm wearing goggles and face shield and apron while I'm making it. Because if one's going to fail while constructing, it will fail on me.
When you clamp these on, is there pressure put on the doer? Oh, there
yes,
is.
There is.
Okay.
And one of the instructions I was going to, you may be tempted to fiddle with the worm gears. Don't tighten it down anymore.
No, I will not be tempted. Nor will I ever wash it in a dishwasher. I will be very careful.
And, oh, yeah, no microwaves.
No mic. Might be an interesting experiment, though. Yeah. You know, this is like the TARDIS. Somebody's saying, Weird MI saying, the inside of the doer is smaller than the inside. Actually, it's like the TARDIS. It's actually bigger on the inside. It's a remarkable...
After 4 liters of beer, I would have gone with that.
Did you drink the whole thing?
1 gallon is 8.3 pounds. An imperial gallon is 10. So actually, this is an important thing for you to know. Should you pick one up, the most common one is the 665. 665 milliliters is an imperial pint. It's vitally important as good and honest Americans that when you go to the bar and present that to the barkeep and say, I'd like an imperial pint of beer, and watch them as the auto-delete of the word imperial happens, and they serve you a full Stein.
Right.
And you were honest. You said imperial pint.
Right, right.
And they gave you 4.5 extra ounces of beer for free.
Thank you. You were honest. Can we buy the silvered one online?
Is you that can. Also? That's the shiny brass.
Shiny brass. And rugged is the one you're holding?
No, rugged is the one you have.
That's the one I have.
The one that
home.
Has the silicone sheath between the glass and the shield.
Yeah, there's actually a funny story online about why that silicone sheath is there. Was unexpected.
Yeah, that's not what I ordered.
And yet...
Prototype. I'll see if it works.
Sell it to Leo.
No, you didn't get the prototype. The prototype actually belongs to a man named George, who actually builds beautiful scientific structures for us.
Oh, neat.
If you need to build a lab rack, if you got to hang everything off of it, George probably built it for you if you're at Lawrence Livermore or Lawrence Berkeley.
We should get George. So there are you are still working on the samplers. Is there anything in stock, or are you...
Well, I have no idea what's still in stock.
Nothing's in stock now, I could guarantee you.
Really?
Well, we'll see.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Let's put it this way. If you order now, you may or may not get it soon.
You will get it before... It will go out in the mail before the 20th.
Okay, so you're...
That is the promise.
That is the promise.
Courtesy of the inventory controls I put in because of you.
Did you? Oh, you did. Okay.
The inventory controls went into place shortly thereafter with the... I'm not going to grab you like my fiancé grabbed me and said, you will fix this. This will never happen again. So, the Leo Laporte Memorial Inventory Control System is now in place.
I'm glad there'll be a memorial for me someday. Funraniumlabs.com. I would love to hear some stories about Antarctica, but you're going to have to come back for that.
There's actually quite a few of them on site. If you go hit
it's great.
The blog site, hit the Adventure and Radiation tag, there's lots of Antarctica stories
I thought we'd also talk about, you know, that. Explain, though, we have to explain what a health physicist is to those who were here 17 hours ago when we began the show.
So a health physicist is the term that was come up with during the Manhattan Project to describe the people that were watching the workers making the nuclear weapons, to make sure that they stayed healthy and weren't exposed to the materials they're working with, and incidentally didn't break anything. Because health physics isn't just protecting people from radiation, it's protecting the environment and property from radiation. So it's save the toys from you and you from the toys.
A very important thing to do.
So,
and I'm glad you do it.
It's my job to do radiation safety for UC Berkeley.
I'm glad you do it.
And I also teach at Las Positas College doing radiation safety.
You could teach coffee, too. I bet you there'd be some interest. This is and if you put a little...
No, you Mark can truly teach coffee.
Mark is great. And I hope Mark is watching, because we were saying his ears are burning, definitely. cold brew coffee is a little different from what you might be used to. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a good idea to try the sampler. I'm an espresso guy, so I like that bitter flavor. But I have to say, with the vodka...
I'm wondering if you're going to like the Death Wish.
I might try the Death Wish.
I'm taking it away from you.
No, don't take it. Yeah, because I would probably try it now, and that would be bad. That would be
tomorrow,
very bad.
Tomorrow, try it.
It's more awaits you at funradiumlabs.com. Straight up, iced, hot,
with
or
absinthe,
with vodka. Or absinthe. I'm going to try it with absinthe.
We've actually compiled quite a few cocktail recipes as people have tinkered over the years. That and my primary tasting subjects... is the tasting room at the St. George Spirits Distillery. I have 24 of some of the finest refined palates I can come across right on the other side of Alameda from me. Say, here, try coffee. They say, here, try this unlabeled bottle. So it's a fair trade. I haven't gone blind yet. Their hearts haven't exploded. Everyone's happy.
Straight out of the still, baby. Such a pleasure.
Actually, I have done that.
Really?
Well, finger whack through it.
Wow.
For the heart of the heart of their raspberry eau de vie.
Oh.
That was heavenly.
That does sound really good. That does sound really good.
I'm in my little place now.
Philip Broughton, thank you so much.
Thank you, Leo.
Really a pleasure.
Good to meet
Thank you for the coffee. I am totally buzzed. Again, funraniumlabs.com or at funranium on Twitter. We do this show each and every Wednesday, usually not with so much imbibing, but what the hell. 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Continuous improvement, Leo.
It's a continuous improvement, exactly. 2100 UTC. Watch live. You never know what you might see. And if you can't, though, we make on-demand audio and video available after the fact at Twit and, of course, on all the podcast clients like iTunes and the Zune store and so forth. Chipotle vodka. With absinthe. It's like a Mexican hot chocolate.
Yes, I do know Glenn Garabedian.
The chat room's asking, who is Glenn Garabedian?
He was a very nice gentleman from Lawrence Livermore.
Oh, all right.
Was a font of knowledge.
There you go.
I learned so many great stories from him, which unfortunately I can't share.
The absinthe recipe and all and many others are available in the How to Consume section at the Black Blood of the Earth website, funraniumlabs.com. There's some really good recipes. Scroll down. Lots of interesting ideas. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thank you.
Next week, who do we have, Karstein? We got some great people lined up for you. Say again? Alex Ohanian, the founder of Reddit?
Yeah.
Next week? Ask him anything. Join us. We'll see you on Triangulation.